Let us give reverent attention to the reading of God's word found in Matthew 13, 3 through 9. Here we find that Jesus taught in parables. These short stories used common everyday elements that his listeners understood well. If you have kept a garden, then some of the descriptions of soil in this passage will make sense to you. It is called the parable of the sower. Listen. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Do I have any gardeners in the place? How about farmers? I have a few farmers and a few gardeners. I make that distinction. I just want you to know, for me, a gardener is somebody who can, like, fills up the backyard. If you use a tractor, it's not gardening. When I was in North Carolina at Divinity School, the way to survive Divinity School without a huge amount of debt was to take advantage of something called the Duke Endowment. And the Duke Endowment was tobacco money that had been repurposed by the Duke family so that they would send nurses out to all of North Carolina and they would send out Methodist preachers. So students at Duke who were in the nursing program could get a job with good money in all kinds of varieties of places, and pastors could get sent off. So one year I worked at the children's home in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I did the school year and the summer. One year I did the Wesley Foundation at UNC Chapel Hill. I got to sit in the Dean Dome before it was released to everybody and watch a pickup game with Michael Jordan and Phil Ford and Mitch Kupchak and James Worthy and Sam Perkins. And after a while, the second game, there were a bunch of pros that got to sit down because they had lost to a young man named Michael Jordan and James Worthy. They were on the same team at that point. And me and the chaplain just sat with our feet up about halfway up the dome just looking. It was a good day. One summer, I got appointed to work at a three-point charge with a pastor in Bellwood, North Carolina. Anyone? Bellwood? Really? Oh, my gosh. Bellwood is near Shelby. Anybody? Still Charlotte? The best part about that area of the state was there's a place called Kayser, and Kayser is the place on the news that if they say something bad happened, they'd always reference it in terms of Kayser. So it was like, and that happened in such and such a town. It was only 25 miles away from Kayser. So you knew it was bad if they were. In Bellwood, they had three small United Methodist churches. They were all about the size of the boutique. But they all had family graveyards. And so it wasn't possible to merge those three churches. But one pastor was appointed to those three churches, and he wandered around. And part of Duke Endowment meant I went and I lived in somebody's house. I went to dinner at somebody else's house every night of the week. So I had 6 nights out of 7, I went to somebody's house to have dinner. At the time, I had a Mustang, a 1967 Mustang with glass packs on it. And so everybody in Bellwood, North Carolina knew where I was going. Ah, you were over at so-and-so's house yesterday because I knew you went down the street. I couldn't figure out why they all knew where I was. Every house had a garden that required a tractor. They all called it a garden. Almost every one of them had a couple of head of cattle, and they would grow millet in their garden with their tractor, and they would grow corn, and they would grow squash, and everybody grew squash. And every night, for the summer, I got squash in some form or fashion. They had potlucks at a church every Sunday, so I got to eat squash every night of the week and Sunday lunch. I don't like squash. That's the place I learned that if you go in a potluck, if you go last, some things are gone already. So you don't have to have said you tried everything, because 3/4 of it were squash. Everybody in that town knew exactly what it meant to when it was when it rained enough, or it was too rainy, or the time was not right yet, or now's the time to put this kind of seed in. And everybody, you would read any parable from Jesus about planting, and everybody knew what it meant. But most of us these days don't have much experience. I grew up in Florida in Cocoa, so a little bit farther down the coast. And we could grow tomatoes, we could grow peppers, but we struggled to do anything that would resemble a carrot. Lettuce only in the very coolest time of the year. And so I had a very interesting view of what gardening was all about. I learned after a while that if you'll leave a pumpkin and not take it in, that the next year there'll be a pumpkin plant that grows right where you left the pumpkin. I learned that I don't know whether I'm cheap, but I would plant, you know, if it said plant 6 inches apart, I'd plant one seed in every 6 inches. Those folks who are laughing are other gardeners who know that you put two or three or four in every place that you're supposed to, and then you take out the least healthy of the, so you always end up with a good plant. I was cheap. One. I expected every plant to grow up and produce the most that plant could ever produce. That's why I'm not a farmer. How many of you have ever done this to sow seed? Just anything besides grass? Okay. I'm getting yeses from Fred. Fred, what did you plant like this? I don't even know what sorghum is. I think it's something you feed to cows. I score! You know from living in Florida that if you don't plant in the right kind of soil, that it doesn't grow as well. You know that just by having grass in your yard. If you have a shady place, some grasses work, other places it doesn't. You know that if you drive on your lawn a lot, that is wherever the tires go, you're not going to get good, healthy grass. Am I right? My stepdaughter didn't realize that, and we've got this little cut in place in our driveway, and she doesn't like to back up. So when she left to go to work, when she was living with us, she would drive straight over the lawn. When we got here, our lawn was gorgeous. It was deep and thick, but now there are a couple of stripes that don't grow the grass near so well. If you have rocky soil, don't expect to have a good harvest. The key to this story for most of us is when we aren't Christ followers yet, we're soil. The story for us is about being good soil. But once we start following Christ, we're no longer soil. Now we are sowers. So what I'm suggesting from this scripture lesson this week is that you are a sower of kingdom seeds of kindness, and that we can plant God's kingdom here and now if we'll plant the right kind of seed. Don't worry about the soil. God will take care of the soil. Don't worry about the rain. God will take care of the rain. All you have responsibility for is being nice. And when somebody asks you why, to say, God loves me. God loves you. This is the way I show it. If you think God is a loving God and yet all you do is sit on your at church once a week, sing pretty songs, then what kingdom transformation are we making? Yes, but I'm in. If you'll notice, Jesus rarely tells stories about heaven and hell. We're not supposed to only understand Christianity in terms of, am I in or am I out? It turns out Jesus talked about that very little. And when Jesus did, he said, here's how you will get in. When I'm doing the sorting will be based on when you saw someone in need, did you do something about it? So in reality, we're saved by grace and then given the responsibility to plant seeds of kindness. It's actually fairly simple. So we've been in this 4-week sermon series on the conspiracy of kindness. And if you'll remember the first Sunday I told you, the way we're going to change the world for God's kingdom is I'm going to make you go clean bathrooms. You either get to sow that seed or another seed. Anybody? Bathrooms? Then listen to me. We've told stories about and shown pictures, and maybe you watch on Facebook or some other places, some stories that seem to have a ripple effect where someone is nice to somebody and years later, all of a sudden there's impact. What if I told you not to worry about anything except for being kind? That I promise you, you will not know all of the plants that grow from the seeds of kindness that you've sowed. I promise you. Just like you are the fruit of other people's kindness and you never told them that that teacher made that kind of impact. I never told my band teacher in high school. And to this day, I can still remember the place, the moment, and all he said was, just don't make the same mistake twice. It was at contests, band contests, during the sight reading portion. Have you anybody in band? Sight reading was fun, wasn't it? Nope, a lot of pressure. Well, I was playing the bass clarinet. I was the only person playing the bass clarinet. And the bass clarinet line had one particular accidental in it that nothing, no other person was playing. So if it's wrong from me, it's wrong from everybody. And it was during a place in the music that repeats. So you come back and you get to get a second shot at it. And I got it right the second time. And I was so disappointed in myself for messing it up the first time. Because in sight reading, you try to get prepared before you start. And he said, don't worry about it. Just don't make the same mistake twice. That little seed I have used all my life since ninth grade band. I had a teacher in high school in my senior year. I was taking a humanities class, which was a fabulous class, but it was hard. He'd put up slides up on the screen, and he'd say, all right, what does the yellow represent in this? Who did this? Where was it? Where is it now? All those kind of things. So it was a lot of pressure when it came time for tests in humanities. The teacher, Mr. Brock, used to love to give me a hard time. And so at one point, I had a captive audience with him in a private room that women couldn't go to. And I said to him, why do you always pick on me? And he said to me, I don't ever give attention to folks I don't like. He didn't say, you're my favorite student. He just said, I don't pay attention to folks I don't like. And I went, dang. Life is good. I went from, why does he always pick on me, to, he kind of likes me. Little tiny seeds. Somebody has said something to you at just the right time, and you just tucked it away. It wasn't the most important thing that you've ever been said. And if I asked Mr. Brock or Mr. Dotson if they remember that moment, both of them, I guarantee, would say they didn't remember it. but it made a lifetime impact for me. What if you could do something this week to a stranger that would have a lifetime effect on their understanding of themselves, their understanding of God, their understanding of their place in the world, all kinds of, just because you were nice for some moment? And then consider, what if all of us were nice? And then consider, what if everybody in your neighborhood, everybody in New Smyrna Beach, everybody in Volusia County, everybody in Florida, what if just every Christian was nice to everybody? The ripple effect would be unbelievable. If we're not careful, we let the news dictate reality. And so if we hear about things that are, if about fires and shootings and stuff like that, we think that those things are happening all the time. I had a bookstore, the bookstore owner came in one day and he said to me, he was there for 5 minutes. I was the general manager. I had been there like 8 or 10 hours straight already. He had been there 5 minutes and he said, "See that? That happened? That must happen all the time because I've only been here 5 minutes and it happened." And I said, "Your statistics are terrible. I've been here for 10 hours and for, you know, 7 days a week for the last 4 or 5 weeks and it's the first time it ever happened." What if we leaned into kindness and planted those kind of seeds? What would the world be like? I guarantee you it would be different. I have told you over the past couple of weeks that we could make a ripple effect, that we could essentially build a really big kindness snowball, and it would just get bigger and bigger and stronger and keep going. I have told you that it's relational and that it should be all of us who do this and that it should be fun and it should feel like something that's comfortable for you. So if you like children, I said, or if you like cooking, I said, then grab those things. Can we agree that the world needs more kindness? This is yes, this is no. Can we agree that the world needs more kindness? Yep. Do we think that if we're not doing it, that somebody else is gonna? It's easy for us to agree that we need the world to change, but it's really hard sometimes for us to change. Here's what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned that we get into a place where we've developed a habit of not doing nice things to each other. I know I open doors for folks, doesn't matter woman or man, especially if they've got stuff in their hands. I'm always tuned in to holding the door open, even if I have to, because it has been my lifelong habit. If I stop doing it and for weeks and weeks I don't do it, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to lose that habit. What I would love is to find out that 2 years down the road, you think back to this day and say, "This is the day I started a new habit of being kind to folks around me." And today it finally paid off. How many of you have ever planted asparagus? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Here's the thing about asparagus. You plant those seeds, you can put them wherever you need to put them, and then for the next year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, you think they are dead and it was a waste of your time because asparagus doesn't come out of the ground for 6 or 7 years. What if we planted seeds now that wouldn't sprout for 6 or 7 years? We do that. You see, when we give money to Kudos Unhooked, seeing the real impact of that doesn't happen for 6 or 7 years. If you are a teacher, especially if you're an elementary-aged teacher, you don't get to see the effect until somebody comes back and says to you, "You changed my life." Sometimes they don't come back and tell you that. You just plant the seed. God will take care of the rain. God will take care of the harvest. All I'm asking you to do to be a Christ follower is to plant kindness seeds. Maybe you don't have a spare $5 this week, but some point in time, you're going to have just the right amount of money, and you're going to feel God's urging to do something. And when you do it, that person's going to turn to you and say, oh my gosh, I was just... And they'll tell you a story about how God, they were praying to God about... I heard a story, and I trust the source because they had no other reason to say this. For some reason, God inspired a guy at the grocery store to buy an extra gallon of milk, and he didn't need milk. So he bought milk, and he was driving home from the grocery store. He felt like God said, stop. Here's the place to deliver the milk. So he stops. He delivers the milk. The family had small children, and they were trying to figure out whether they were going to be able to keep the electric on or pay for milk. You just never know. So listen. It will be something that fits you. It will bring you joy. But we, Christ followers, are required to follow somehow. Do something. I can keep going, but I may have said enough. This is yes? This is... How do we make it a new part of normal? How do we change what we do so that we are more courteous, more civil, more kindness? Take one of the go and do likewise cards or make your own, but let's change the world so it's the world that God dreams of, not the one that's most convenient to me. And let's keep steering that way and planting seeds. Let us pray. Lord, help us to follow you however you call us. You have designed us to do specific things, and sometimes you need for us to just be courageous and take a step, and other times you just know that we need to be nice. Help us to be like Jesus without feeling like we have to be called to the mission field or that we have to be like Peter or Paul, but we can be ourselves, and that's who you want us to be. And in that, we can help change the world and make the world your world. Send us. Here we are. Send us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.